And actually, I've just been handed this in other news from the Knuckles County Crime Files. A lollygagging radio host with an undisclosed USDA official nabbed for offenses this morning somewhere near a cornfield. Chip!
Yes.
Do you need bail money?
Actually, there was two lollygagging radio hosts that were nabbed for speeding over this way.
Now, I heard the one was able to charm his way out of it, and I can only assume that was Mike Adams.
Mike Adams was not successful in charming his way out of it, and neither was I. I think Mike was trying to explain that he was just trying to keep up with the guy that was in front of him, and I don't think the Knuckles County enforcement agent decided that was a good enough excuse.
He pulled you both over at the same time?
He almost got a threefer. Okay. He almost had the hat trick. There were almost octopus flying on the ice.
Wow. Now that's impressive. Much love for the Knuckles County crime fighters. We appreciate that a whole bunch. Well, Chip, as with Brian, before we move on to what you saw today, let's go back and just look at South Dakota in the rear view. Corn yield came in 147.97. Pod counts at 89956. B number seems a little low.
Yeah, down 7.3% from last year, and it's below the 3-year average for South Dakota, too. And don't forget, Davis, if there's any spot in South Dakota that you can call okay or you could call good, it is that southeast corner of the state. And we do most of our samples out of the Crop District 9. We do get into Crop District 6, which is east central, and we pull like one sample from Crop District 5 over in the south central part of the state. The important thing to remember when we look at these numbers, both corn and soybeans, the corn yield was down 1.2%, the pod count down 7.3%. When you look at that, that is the best that South Dakota has to offer this year. When you get outside of the crop tour area, the past 2 years, Davis, they've harvested a lot of 150 bushel corn outside of the tour area. This year, it's going to be a lot of 60 to 75 bushel corn harvested outside of the tour area. So USDA on August 1, looking at the whole state on their corn yield, was off 13%. That makes more sense than being off 1.2%. Now, from that tour area, I think it makes perfect sense. We just saw a crop that was a little bit below what we saw a year ago. But outside of the tour area, it there's been a lot of suffering in the crops up there. The bean yield estimate out of South Dakota on August 1 from USDA was 41 bushels per acre, down about 17% from last year. Again, I think that makes more sense than that 7.3% decline that we saw in the pod counts. The other thing, the past couple of years I've been up in South Dakota and I look at the way that those pods are filling in the third week of August, and I just kind of think to myself, man, oh, man, this bean crop's made. Give it one more drink, and we're not going to have any problems with this thing. This year, a lot of flat pods, in South Dakota. We got chased out of the state by some thundershowers, though. So they got the moisture. They got the moisture that is going to help at least jumpstart that pod filling on those beans.
But it rained as you were leaving, though. It rained, right? Even after you were already gone. And this I find interesting. I'm comparing this year's results to the 3-year average. And if we're looking at South Dakota District 5, and if I'm placing that right, that's right in the middle of the state, correct?
Yeah.
Pod count this year at 330, 3-year average is a 713, call it. Meanwhile, this year's soil moisture and growth stage were both at the top end of the samples that you found, both of them above the 3-year average, and District 6 and District 9, both below them on soil moisture and growth stage. So is it an issue of water, or have they just recently got enough and it just quite hasn't gotten a chance to catch up?
There you go. It's, you know what I like to say about soybeans? They're ornery, right?
Right.
You know, so, I mean, my route that I went through, I was very impressed with the soybeans up in South Dakota. The five stops that I made up there, I had an average pod count of like 1,300. which was off the charts for me for South Dakota. Well, if it was dry early and you put a little bit of stress or the right amount of stress on that bean crop at the right time, force the plants to shorten up the distance between the nodes every time that crop puts on or that plant puts on another node, gives it another opportunity to set some pods. That's what I saw in South Dakota. Now, with the moisture that they've had, that crop is going to go ahead and finish. And where I was, I think they're going to have an awfully good bean crop. But when you throw all those 74 samples that we pulled from South Dakota into one bag, we've got that 7% drop in total pod counts in the 3x3. So, again, you know, that's just a prime example of you don't want to take too much from one route out there, because I came out of South Dakota thinking, good grief, this is going to be a boomer bean crop. And then when you get the rest of the other nine routes in there, that's when the reality starts to set in.
Okay, before we move on to your thoughts on Nebraska, let's just jump real quick. I want to stay in District 5 here, but switch over to South Dakota corn. Kernel rows around 17. That's one sample. Almost a good 4 points above the 3-year average. Just one sample there?
Yeah, that's a very small sampling out there in Crop District 5. Yeah, so, and that's right on the corner of, that is as far west as we get. Now, it's important to talk about that, though, because that is basically the only route that got far enough west to really get into the dry areas. For those of you guys familiar with South Dakota, it's Plankinton, South Dakota, about 25 miles west of Mitchell. They got into the dry areas over there that we needed to at least just take a peek at, and that's what we did. And a kind of crappy corn yield, like 65, 69 bushels, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty typical of what's going to be seen outside of the tour area to the west and to the north.
Okay, all right, homie. The last year the crop tour found corn yield potential in Nebraska at 158.6 bushels per acre, soybeans at 1223.07 pods per 3 foot square.
Yep.
I know Nebraska soybeans are one of your favorite marvels of the world. So
yes.
Let's start there. How are those Husker beans doing?
We're not finding that many pods.
Uh-huh.
Nope, we're not finding that many pods, at least not on my route today. Again, we might come in and when everything is said and done. But yesterday when we wrapped up in Grand Island and the guys were talking about their pod counts, everybody seemed to be a little disappointed. There might have been a route or two that was impressed with the pod counts that they were getting. But what I've seen today on the pod counts, it's nothing spectacular. And we've had some fairly low ones, too, under 700 pods in a 3x3 square. Hmm. And the thing is, when you pull up to the field, you think to yourself, hey, that looks like a pretty good bean field. You get out there and you find the 500 or something like that, or, you know, 700 pods. So it's I'm a little confused by the Nebraska beans right now. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
I am, because with the heat and the dry conditions that they had, I kind of figured that was going to be the right amount of stress at the right time. If we could give it a drink of water, when that plant starts to fill those pods, it'll be a big bean crop again out here. But the pod counts that I've seen are suggesting pretty ordinary, if not a little less than ordinary out here on the beans.
Seems like last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago, you were a little concerned with weed pressure on the Nebraska bean crop. Still the same deal?
Yeah? Still am. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you were good to hold your tongue then.
Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday, I felt like maybe the northeast part of the state took a half step backwards in their control efforts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I say control efforts. I shouldn't say that. I should just say in the control. Because the effort is there. I'm not doubting that. The guys aren't just giving up on controlling those weeds.
Sure.
But if your spraying gets delayed by 2 or 3 days, if there's any number of things that could get the timing off just a bit and allow for some escapes, and you just don't get out there at the right time because of the weather and the environment, you don't get out there at the right time to keep things under control. So. Mm-hmm. I think maybe northeast Nebraska, half step backwards. Southeast Nebraska, yesterday there was a lot of weed pressure that I would say was mid-range.
Okay.
Today there's not a lot of mid-range. Ooh. It's either terrible or it's really good. And more of it is good than it is really bad.
Okay, give me about 30 seconds on Nebraska corn out there.
Okay, Dry land, what I've seen is not as good as what I saw last year. It just doesn't feel like it is. Now, that's one route. Guys might come back in and surprise me when we wrap up in Nebraska City. Irrigated corn, it's good corn. It's not great corn. The pressure and the stress in the dry land corn has definitely intensified as we're making our way to the east.
Mm-hmm. All righty. And you'll meet up where tonight for your big meeting?
Nebraska City, baby.
All right.
Looking forward to it. It's always a jumping crowd there in Nebraska City.
I heard you had a full house last night, too.
Yeah, like 418 there in Grand Island.
Yeah. That's outstanding. I think
they went through a beer every 2 seconds there in Grand Island.
That sounds like my kind of pace.
I hung with them as long as I could, Davis.
That's Chip Flory on the Western Leg, on the run from Johnny Law. We'll be back with Dan Huber right here on Market Rally.
This year's Farm Progress Show, August 29th through 31st.